missing some videos and our live event last week, especially on Wednesdays that we have, but we talk real estate. So I figured I'd come in today and answer any questions you guys have in regards to real estate specifically, if you have them. But I can answer any questions you have on the market. Like the jobs number came out last week. I'm just going to go over some brief information with you right now. And then I'm here to answer any questions that you guys have. So as you come on in, please let me know where you're coming from. Maybe what you do for a living. I'd love to know, you know, are you in the mortgage business? Are you a consumer? Are you, you know, in college or whatever? So that's why we do this, to make sure you guys are educated on what's going on in the markets. And I like to explain the whys behind all this stuff. So let's, without further ado, here's what we're going to go through. Let's go and see what the markets are looking like right now. So to do that, we're going to pull up my screen here. So on my screen, what you're seeing is what I see on a daily basis. And why? Because I'm in the mortgage business. So I follow this because I need to know, you know, what the trends are in mortgage rates, what economic events are coming up that might cause, you know, rumblings in the market, you know, why the market might be up, or why interest rates might be up. You know, we had on Friday, the jobs report number came in, and that skewed the market a little bit. And it also skewed what the Federal Reserve's plans are going to be. So that's what we have on store for us today, folks. So as you guys are coming on board, please let me know where you're coming from. And ask any questions that you have, because today's live event and all live events that we have at 3 o'clock each day are basically here for me to answer the questions that you guys have based on the videos that I put out, like, you know, the CalHEFA program. There was a CalHEFA program that we were offering that was giving you 20% of the money needed as a down payment. The money's gone. Are there alternatives? Well, you bet there are alternatives. What's going on in the stock market and so forth. So let's get over to it. We see the bond market and everything basically across the board right here is flat. Love it, because when rates go up substantially or down substantially, it makes things all just hectic. So I'm going to go over where I think rates are going to go, and I'm going to give you guys a great input on some of this data. And the goal here, folks, is to teach you guys to think on your own, because we can't rely on schools. We can't rely on colleges. We can't rely on mainstream media for sure. And we can't rely on just those out on YouTube just throwing stuff out there to get clicks. So what I want to provide you guys is informational content plus the facts behind it. No biases or anything else. So without further ado, let's get over to it. So you see in the headlines here, this is basically what I see on one of my screens, folks. So let's break it down. Let's see if there's any headlines that we need to talk about in this section here. So the first thing is, MBS recap, unofficially still waiting for the week to begin. I don't know what that means. Mortgage rates have quickly erased last week's drops. So that's what's coming in. And then here's one big article. The latest jobs numbers and bank data indicate another Fed hike. So let's dig into this a little bit. So let's go over to the markets. Let's see what the markets are telling us. Well, no, I moved the screen. So here, let's go back to Yahoo Finance. But there's a real good section here I want to discuss with you guys. So let's see what's going on in the markets right now. Have you ever really seen a day where the S&P is basically at zero? The Dow Jones is up 53, not up 500 or down 700. The Nasdaq's minus three. The Nasdaq, when it's usually up 500, 600, 700 each time, you know, all over the board. So that's what we're talking about. And the Russell 2000 is up 18. Let's go over the headlines and guys, please, I'd love your comments. I'll get to those in a second. I'm just going to do this real fast. The headlines, we're going to see Yellen to push next steps for World Bank. We do not want that. We do not want a World Bank. Goldman Sachs finds public fear about banking crisis has faded. I told you that. So if you're a viewer of my channel, we knew that was a little blip in the radar. And now all that stuff's coming back to basically zero. March inflation data expected to continue cooling. I'm going to show you some articles on that, especially down through here. Fed expected to raise rates by 50 basis points. Where are they getting these numbers? So this is an area I want you guys to concentrate on. Fed is effectively pretty close to being done. So are they going up 50 basis points or are they done? Okay, so that's what we're going to discuss here in a little more detail. One interesting thing that I gave to you guys last week, and now mainstream media is getting it, is investor Barry Schnenlich, I don't know how to pronounce his name. Sorry about that. He's got fantastic data here. And this guy is a billionaire. He knows what he's talking about. And let's dive into this just briefly. Last week, he came up with an article and he came up with some findings that said, if the Federal Reserve actively, you know, participated in true numbers on where we have them today, what would the inflation numbers look like? Okay, so I'm just going to give you this in context, because again, we're here to answer those questions. So he did a survey, or he did an analysis, and he did this. God, where is that? Oh, sorry. I got to scroll up. I was just there. Let's see. There's all the advertisements. So if you go down through here, here's what he's saying. And this makes perfect sense. Daggone it, they got rid of it already. So there was an article here he had. My apologies. Let's go over to this. There might be another section here. Well, what he basically had here is old data. What the Federal Reserve is using, they're basically just using old data when they're doing this. So if you extract out, or you really brought back housing, well, let's just go to here. Here's what housing numbers look like, okay? Here's what it is. So this yellow line is basically the change that it was from the previous year. Okay, so you can see back in March, and it continued a little bit through June of last year, where housing prices, this is rent paid. Okay, look at these numbers. This is shelter skyrocketing. Now, this is one third of our inflation numbers. Okay, so where has the housing number really gone from here? Well, here's where it's really gone. We're almost back to zero. Okay, so what Barry was saying is, if you put this into context, if the Federal Reserve would actually look at where the numbers are today, not in the rearview mirror of where we were last year at this time, or maybe June at its peak, they actually took the real numbers behind this. Basically, we would have inflation at about a 2.6 range. And that's according to Barry, and he's this billionaire. And I kind of agree with him, because I do a lot of research when it comes to this stuff. So that's what I'm giving you guys on the inflation front. Rents are right there. What do you need to know? Well, here's the last piece, and then I'll get to your questions. Is the Federal Reserve right now, they control one thing. They control the federal funds rate. Okay, where is the federal funds rate today? Well, it's 4.75 to 5. Okay, that's where we are today. Okay, what's the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, the Board of Trade, where all the money's going, the hedge fund people, the billionaires, the trillionaires, what are they saying is going to happen? Well, here's the report. Okay, we're at 4.75 to 5. Okay, there's a 71% chance that we're going to be at 5 to 5.25 at the next meeting. Okay, so that means we're going to raise not a half, but a quarter. And then it continues on to the next meeting. So they're saying, you know, where we're going to be in June. So they're pretty sure right through here that there's going to be a 0.25% jump in the federal funds rate, meaning with the Federal Reserve controls. If you go out a half, it's zero. Okay, so I don't know where a lot of these people get a lot of this information. I'm going to go over. I don't know where the heck I found it. But that when they're telling you that the inflation numbers are out of control and all this other stuff, and the Federal Reserve is raising rates a 0.5%, they're missing the ball, folks. Okay, so this is why I want to provide you guys with the facts, the data, and all the information to really dig into these sources. The Chicago Mercantile Exchange right there. And then the employment numbers, we're going to talk about that. Here's my analogy on the employment numbers and why I'm not looking that far into this stuff. Okay, so here's what it is. When the world shut down, think of it this way, common sense. Okay, the world shut down. What was the main industry? The main industry that went to zero? Well, you couldn't travel. Remember, you couldn't travel. You couldn't go out to dinner. You could maybe order from someplace and pick it up, but you couldn't even do that at first because you couldn't drive. So leisure and hospitality was basically that industry was non-existent back when. Okay. But what's happening now is a lot of those jobs are coming back, especially in that field. And the last jobs report we had, it showed a robust pickup there. It's well needed. When's the last time you went out to dinner and you sat there and the service was, I'll say they're trying their best, put it that way. But it's bad. You know, I'm not saying the person's bad. It's just slow. They don't have enough people there. Well, they keep adding and adding and adding. I don't know about you, but I go out to dinner, you know, a couple times a week, me and my wife. You know, we go to, you know, some bars on the weekends just, you know, to get out of the house. And those people, the employment's starting to come back. Okay. We were just in Florida. It was dismal. A year ago, you'd go out to dinner and there would be, you know, people there and you just sit. And sit and sit. Now that work is coming back. So that area in the industry is starting to pick up. But if you really focus in on the numbers, and I'm going to show you that right here, and I'll put this report down below in the description once we're done so you guys can access this yourself. This is actually the jobs report that just came out. So if you really want to dig into it and find out the nitty gritty on what's going on and all the details, this is actually right from the government. Okay. It's right from the government, Bureau of Labor Statistics, and it has everything in there. So if you really want to dig down to find out, am I telling you the truth, or you know what's behind these numbers, dig into it. There's not a lot of people going back to basic work, but that's starting to change. I'm also starting to see traffic on my way in getting a little bit, you know, out of hand anymore, again, in Chicago as well. But let's continue with the common sense. Okay, so during that time, and I showed you, if you watch my videos and you watch my, a lot of my information, I show you how consumers' disposable income spiked to the highest level we've ever seen in 2021. And I can pull that up on the screen for you just to prove my point. I'm going to put in consumer disposable income chart. And we're going to pull this up on the screen, and I'll load it while you guys are watching me do this. And you're going to see an anomaly here. Okay, here's the anomaly. Here's the disposable income for people. This is from the government over time. You see right through here, you see that time frame right there? Okay, that was during the pandemic. So how in the world did people have so much money, a number that's basically we've never seen in people's savings accounts or bank accounts in the last how many years? How did that happen? Okay, how did that happen? Okay, so let's break this down. The government overstimulated the economy. They sent out way too much money. They shut down the economy. They sent out billions and billions and billions of dollars to people. Then on top of it, what they had is they had, if you had a mortgage, you didn't have to pay your mortgage anymore. It's called a mortgage forbearance. So you could take up to 18 months off of paying your mortgage. Okay, pretty cool. So if you had a mortgage, now you don't have that $2,000, $3,000 housing payment. So you're saving that much money. The next thing is, if you have student loan debt, it's on deferral. It's still in deferral. So you didn't have a student loan payment. You didn't have a housing payment. What'd you do? Well, you socked the money away. And this is proving my point, folks. So I'm not making this stuff up. There it is. Okay, it's right on your screen. All right. So now you have too much money chasing too few goods. It really spikes inflation. It spikes the values of everything. So there's too much money chasing too few goods. Economics 101 basically is how do you get an equilibrium? We got to drive up the prices to find the equilibrium. That's what happened. It happened in housing. It happened in all kind of stuff. Okay, so that's what we're seeing. So now people are coming back. Do you see on this screen again? I'm going to show you right here. People no longer have all that excess money. Okay, and also a report that just came out. People have a record credit card debt right now. So we got record debt. We have where people sucked out all the money that they saved during that pandemic. So now people are going to have to, and I've been saying this for about 2 years and I've been behind the curve, but it's starting to happen now, folks. People are going to be forced, meaning forced to go back to work. Their money ran out. Their credit card debt is exploding. They can't do it. They're either going to file bankruptcy or they're going to have to, you know, do something about it. Go back to work. And I'm not saying people are lazy. I'm just saying, here's what's happened in the general sense of things. This is what caused this. Okay, so relax. Also, the banking issues are behind us because people were like, you know, it was a banking issue. I still think we're going to find out more and more and more about this unless it gets tucked under the rug. It smells fishy. Put it that way, how just a couple banks out of all these banks that should be basically insolvent because of the investments they made and no fault of their own. They made, you know, bought treasuries and so forth. And their market value today isn't what it needs to be solvent. So that's what's happening behind that. So hopefully you'll watch my videos on a daily basis. So let's get over to your questions because that's why you're here. And I don't mean to ramble all afternoon. So I don't have a moderator. So please be careful what you ask. Do you think rates will go down to 5 this year? No, I think they're going to be in the 5s this year. And I did it. I didn't name it my predictions. I just said my forecast. What I'm expecting mortgage rates to do is they should be back in the mid to high 5s. I'm saying within the next 3 to 6 months. And the reason why is let's just put one thing in perspective. If you just see on the news and everything else, the jobs numbers, or the Federal Reserve is disappointed when they see a good jobs report. Okay. So the Federal Reserve wants bad jobs reports. CEOs and everybody are predicting a recession. So in the last 5 recessions, and I know I'd say this all the time, but I'm going to repeat it again. The last 5 recessions, on average, mortgage rates dropped 1.8%. But you got to put that in perspective. We weren't coming off of a phase that where we had in the last pandemic where the Federal Reserve was buying $40 billion of mortgage-backed securities each month. So there was artificially low. Okay. So then we could say, okay, so where should we be now? All right, so if you look at the federal funds rate and a lot of the bond markets and everything else, we should be in a range of about 5.5% to 6%. Okay. And that also backs up on the federal funds rate on where things are going there. So that's why I expect them to be there. And I expect us to be in a recession. So we're not going to drop 1.8% from where we are today. I don't think, because we started off artificially low. So we had to move that trigger up. So then once you go from there, you take the 1.8 off on the recessions, puts us in a range of about 5.5% to 6% is where I expect rates to be at the end of the year, unless the recession is worse than we all expect. So I don't think it's going to be, because I think in this time right now, we have this jobs market that's not going to crash. It crashed. It already crashed. So we brought jobs back to where they were pre-pandemic. But think of it, there's been no growth since that time. So there's really no growth in the employment. But you're going to say, well, you know, since the election, Biden, we saw on the last State of the Union address, there was millions and millions of jobs created. There were people going back from the pandemic. So nothing against the president, the government or anything. It's just, that's the facts behind everything. All right. So let's go to the next question. What do you think about FHA 40-year mortgages? The 40-year mortgages, where that came about, I don't know if it's a good option. I don't even know. They would have to revamp a ton of stuff to be able to redo things on a 40-year term. They'd have to issue bonds and stuff like that for that. It's not impossible to do, but I don't really think they're coming up with a 40-year term anytime in the near future. What they are doing, where you might start seeing 40-year terms, is 40-year terms are available on products such as non-QM. There's only a slight variation of products that are available in that program. It's usually investor loans for, you know, ROI, your return on investments. And the people that are in counseling or in mediation they're trying to get their mortgage modified. Some of them are getting granted 40-year terms. And they did that in the past in 2010, when the world imploded. They came out and they would modify your loans to a 40-year term. Now, here's the catch. Here's what to watch for. So if you run into some troubles with your mortgage, you know, call your mortgage, the 800 number on your mortgage slip, and ask them, you know, try to work with them, because the banks don't want your house. They don't want to foreclose on you. You might be struggling. There might be some equity there. You might be able to work a deal out with them, but they might be able to modify your loan. What they did in the past. So in 2010, this was what was running rampant. They would modify your loan and they would give you a higher rate in most cases, but they would give you a 40-year term to make it look like you were saving some money. So what they did, they took your balance. So let's say you had the mortgage for 5 years, 6 years. So your balance was lower than the original loan amount anyways. So if you just refinance that alone back to a 30-year term, your payment would go down because your balance is a little bit lower. So now let's look at that. If we stretch that out to 40 years, well, you could probably save $300, $400, $500, $600 a month, okay, depending on your loan balance. But what they did is they would jack up your rate to make it that your payment would be about equal to what you used to pay. And they'd say, you know what, all those payments you missed, we're going to just put those on the back end. We're going to refinance you. And so we'll throw that back on the back end, and you're going to start fresh, basically, with a new start. With your payment's going to be about the same as it was, but we're going to throw all that junk on the back end. People were jumping on it. So people then would call us and say, hey, I want to refinance because rates are low, low, low. And I'd look at the thing, and I'm like, well, okay, I can refinance you, and we can get you a rate that's, you know, 2 points or 3 points lower than you currently are at now. But I can't save you any money because there are no 40-year options available to you. That's what happened a lot of times. So then those people were forced, or basically stuck with that modified mortgage. So that's where the 40-year term kind of comes into play. Let's go to the next, but I don't think it's coming to kind of come rampant all over the place. Can I get a HELOC if I have a partial claim? Was out of work for in 2020, so I had to take a forbearance, but I am up to date now on payments. Partial claim, you should be okay as long as there's equity there. We are rolling out a HELOC product that you're going to be able basically to do on your own. You're going to go in, plug in some details, and we just tested this out. We tried it out, and we got the loan closed in 7 business days. So we're still working out the kinks. But if you want to get involved, if you want access to a home equity loan, we can get you a fast one where you can basically control all the bells and whistles to it. You pick the program you want, you pick the rate and term you want. want. You pick the amount you need, and it basically goes from there. They use an automated valuation system on your home. And if you have a job that works, your human resource department works through a system called, Work Number, or things like that, where it's automated. We can automatically validate your job and income. You can close in as quick as 5 business days. So check out my links down below, but I would suggest you just click down below to schedule a consultation, one-on-one consultation, and your mortgage advisor who answers the phone or sets up that consultation with you will be able to walk you through that process immediately. But that's the best way. The forbearance, it doesn't matter that you had a forbearance in the past. It depends on the balance that you have owed or you still have owed. And did they file a differential claim at the end of your mortgage? Meaning you went in forbearance, didn't make a mortgage payment for a year. So those payments are somewhere. So they add them to the back end of the loan. So I don't know, did they file a lien for that, or how's that allocated on the title to your property? I know I'm getting way in depth. That's why I suggest you click down and just do a consultation with us. We can give us the details, and we'll put you on the path to exactly find that right program for you. Man, we are loaded today. Thanks for joining me today, guys. Dan, I've heard from other lenders starting May 10th, we should drop in mortgage rates by close to May 10th. I'd love to know what mortgage company says May 10th. Hey, Dan, I've heard from few lenders starting May 10th. It is May 10th is today. We should see a drop on mortgage rates by close to a full point from where we are today. Thoughts? No idea. So let's get over to that. Okay, so let's get over, and I'm going to show you behind the scenes, folks. And this is, again, where I want to debunk those hypotheticals or whatever. So today is the 10th. There's no news anywhere, and there's no news that I know that's coming out. Here's what's happening to the bond market right now. Well, here's what's happening to mortgage rates right now. This is the MBS market, mortgage-backed securities bond trading on Wall Street. If the rates were going to drop 1% today, this thing would be up 120 basis points, at least, probably 200. Where is it? Minus 0.08. So I don't know what they're talking about there. If we go over to let's go to the economic calendar. So I'm going to show you this, what I do behind the scenes. So I do this. If you follow me every morning, this is exactly what I do. But I pre-filter this before you guys join me. So let's go through here and let's see if there's any main events coming up that would really cause rates to drop 1%. So let's go to here. We're going to apply this filter. And let's see. So on today's biggest events on the economic calendar on Bloomberg for Monday the 10th, nothing. Okay, so I don't know where that data came from. I greatly appreciate you posting that. But Team Giraffa, I am so sorry. Team G, I'll call you Team G. How's that? Can you give me maybe an article or somewhere you saw or kind of, you know, that might have been implied that rates were going to drop 1%, and I'd love to dissect that for you. The next one is OWA. I apologize. I'm going to give you guys acronyms. You can call me Frio. You can call me Dan. You can call me Uncle Dan. You can call me anything you want, but I don't want to abuse you guys' name, so I apologize. Hi, Dan. I'm moving back into my rental property so I can open a HELOC. How long will I have to live there here to do it? Well, we're going to have to document it for sure. So what you're going to need is, I'll prep you for it. Change your driver's license. Make sure you change your bank account. And make sure you change your employee. You let your employer know you're moving back in. Those three things, once you do all those, you should not really have a problem. Make sure your bank statements get mailed to that particular property. Those are the big three things that I look at when I used to underwrite loans. I'd say, okay, are you really there? You know, because your ID puts you at one property, your bank statements put you at another property, and your pay stubs put you at another property. You know, those are your financial documents would be the things most important when I'm looking at a file. So I look at that. If your ID puts you there, your pay stubs and your bank statement puts you there. And then, you know, at worst case scenario, we're going to ask you, maybe we won't need one or two utility bills to validate you're there. So if you have those, you shouldn't have a problem. Okay, so we'd love to help you with that. We have this system that we're just creating. I'll check with Kyle Seagraves of Win the House You Love. Check out his videos and his website. And you know, he has a lot of this information there that could help you as well. So let's go to the next one. Did I miss a date here? It's April 10th today. Not my bad. Did you say May? Let me go back to it. Let's go back. Trying to find May 10th. I'm sorry. I am so sorry. You're right. May 10th. Here's what I'm thinking of. May 10th. Let's check and see when the next Fed meeting is. Next Fed meeting. That's probably what it's going to surround it with. May 3rd. Nope. I don't know. I have no clue on where that data was from why rates would drop 1% full May 10th. And again, I apologize. I know it's April 10th, so my bad. I'm not sure. So sorry to put you through all that whole ordeal, but there's nothing in the radar. The only thing I can think of is the Federal Reserve will be meeting in May. And again, their expectations are right through here. Let me put this back on the screen. Here's the expectations from the Fed. So the Federal Reserve's meeting on May 3rd, and they're going to come out and say they are increasing the federal funds rate to a target range of 5 to 5.25 from 4.75 to 5. Okay, so this is where we are now. This is where all the big money is putting us on where those numbers are going to be. Now, I know this isn't mortgage rates, but there would be a huge move in this as well. If you know, in correlation to that, what you were talking about. Let's see. Barry Habib said that about May 10th. I have no clue where Barry's coming from because I have as much data as he does. I great respect for Barry. So, and I do this every day, all day. So there's nothing that I know of. If Barry comes in and says something he thinks is really going to be, you know, a world changer, I'd love to know. But I might even, you know, let me check out a lot of his details to see if I can find that. Let's see if we can find it online. Barry Habib. One % rate drop. That's what he has to say. Is there anything on there? And Barry Habib is a good dude, man. Barry Habib, projection rate drops and when. Let's see what this, I don't know, Michael Mann. I'm not going to waste your time on this. I'll do my due diligence on here, and then I'll come back and let you guys know what my thoughts are. Is it better to keep a small balance on the credit cards at the end of the billing stipend, or is it better to pay them off? Keep a little bit of balance. That's the best way to do it. If you pay them off all the time, it doesn't reflect as much as it doesn't give you the best scores for your buck, I guess I'll say. Here's an interesting thing. I just did a video not too long ago in regards to credit scores. There's a system we use. It doesn't matter if you use it or not, folks. But I created a website and it's right here. So let's go on to credit, because this is an area where a lot of people, and I'm having a sales call meeting with all my whole team tomorrow. And it revolves around credit. Because everybody knows their credit score or thinks they know their credit score, but they don't. You probably have over 50 different credit scores. You probably didn't realize that. So the one system I use, well, I'm going to give you two pieces of advice here. If you want a free system, you can click this. Let's make sure it works. This is a site that I created. This will take you to Credit Sesame. If you don't have a Credit Sesame account, it's free. Please sign up for it. It doesn't cost you anything. And if it does, if there is a charge for something to upgrade, do not do it. You got it from me. Don't do it, because the free system is fantastic. Now, most people have all these other systems. You know, I get this, and I use Equifax, and I use TransUnion, and I use this, and I use that, and all these other things that really add up. Here's what I use. It's a really simple system. It's right here. It's called Smart Credit. And I use it. I'm not going to show you my account, but I can go through it. My credit score, I boosted it 83 points within the last 60 days by not really doing that much. It's not a system that really, you know, it's not there to boost your credit. It's there to teach you, educate you, do all kind of things for that. But if you're looking for a mortgage, what is your mortgage score? It's right here. Okay, this is your true credit score. It'll launch us to a system called MyFICO. When you're applying for a mortgage, your FICO score is used. So if you use this system, and again, I'm not, you don't have to use this system. I'm just giving you this advice because the question was about credit. Is you use this system, it'll give you a score, and it'll give you a bunch of scores. It'll say your housing score is X. Well, that's your housing score. That would be the score that we get when we pull your credit. Okay. So it's not, you know, any of those other scores. It's not that Equifax score that you use or your Credit Sesame or your Credit Karma score, any of the things like that. It is actually your FICO score. So to find out more about this and other things, all you need to do is go to creditscoresandmore.com. It's right at the top here, creditscoresandmore.com, and check it out. You're going to, I created this several years ago. I try my best to keep it updated. And I think you'll find it useful. So that's that part of it. So let's go to any other questions that we have. Let's go to the last one. I didn't see what it was. Thanks, Dan. Really helpful. You betcha, guys. Okay, so that is my report for today. If you guys don't have anything else, let's just check and see. The markets are closed at this point. So basically everything is flat. I will come back for you guys tomorrow. In tomorrow's context, we will address Barry Habib. Him predicting on May 10th. I'll write it down right now, and I'll come back with you guys tomorrow. May 10th, rates are going to drop 1%. Well, if that was the case in the mortgage business, we would be holding all of our customers until May 10th to lock them in. So there was something there that maybe somebody misconstrued, or maybe Barry knows something. I don't know. So we do have another question. How do you buy bonds? Well, there's a whole variety of bonds. What you're seeing, let's go to this. What you're seeing on your screen right here is a 10-year treasury. It's a bond. Mortgage-backed securities, they're bonds. You can actually buy I-bonds, which are, I can even give you a site there. I-bonds, because I-bonds, I actually invest in I-bonds. Purchase. If you go to I-bond purchase, buy savings bonds, and it's right here. Series bonds right here. Series 1 savings bond. Look at this. Look at this yield. Almost 7% on a bond. Okay, so not a bad return on your investments, especially when the stock market is doing things like this, you know, either not moving or it's all, okay, so the Dow Jones jumped right at the last of the session. Remember, this was basically flat as a pancake a little bit ago. It jumped 100 points at the end of the day. Okay, so I don't know what happened. Obviously, some good news, but we will cover that tomorrow. Let's see, any other questions that you have? So hopefully I answered that question for you. How do you buy bonds? If you buy treasuries, any other, you know, savings bonds and things like that, you can go to right here, Treasury Direct, to buy other like corporate bonds and things like that. Whoever you invest with, like Schwab or whatever else, you can call them and they'd be able to help you, you know, choose what tool is best for you, and they'd be able to take care of that transaction for you. So thanks for the question. Fantastic. Next question is, what do we got here? Working with John E. to get my loan approved, and he's been very helpful. Well, thank you so much. John E., he's a sales guy on our team. Just so you guys know, Antonio, we have a whole team. We truly work as a team. We're not a huge company. To be honest with you, my team consists of about 12 people total. So we're not this big international company. I do have a group. You know, we work for Allied First Bank, a federally chartered bank, but we're also the kind of one of the country's largest mortgage brokerages. So if you're out there and you're looking for a mortgage and you're like, hey, I don't know where to go. You know, I can try Rocket. Are they any good? Or, you know, I haven't heard of these companies. Let us help you with this. So what we can do is we can get you pre-approved. And the benefit of this is we can put you through the bank, you know, our bank. But let's say, for example, mortgage rates are better some other lender. I can use their rates and their programs. So I'm affiliated with or set up with about 87 different companies right now to help you with that. So we should be your one-stop shop. What we offer you is we can help you with your credit, just like with all the tools I'm showing you here. We can help you get pre-approved. That's what we do. So we have we have the bank, and then we have 87 other lenders to choose from. So think, if you had at your disposal like 30 companies or 90 different companies to choose from, it'd be impossible for you to check all those rates and everything else. Use us for that. Then another thing we do is we can vet realtors in the area that you're looking at. So let's say you're in San Diego and you want to move to North Carolina. You don't know any realtors in North Carolina. So you go online to realtor.com or let us vet them for you. We have a service that's free to you. You don't have to use these people. It's just an option. So we'll come back and say, hey, we got a perfect person for you to use out in North Carolina. If you want, here's their information. So those are all the things that we'll do for you. Let's go to the next question. Which bonds do you recommend that you would invest? I don't do that because I'm not a licensed broker. I can't do it online. I do this for educational and informational purposes only. So I'm not a registered investor. So I can't tell you that. I can tell you what I do sometimes. Check out my videos each morning and I can let you know, you know, I let you know some of the trends that I do. But I do buy some of these bonds that I just did show you. I actually buy them for my kids. When we started having children, I started buying bonds for them basically every pay period while I could afford it and as much as I can afford. And my kids did okay with this stuff. So good for them. And they're getting good yields on this as well. Look at this. It's still crazy how the Series I bond savings bonds is almost 7%. So you might want to look into that. And you just go to Treasury. What's the website? TreasuryDirect.com, I think is the website. So that's that for you. The next question that we have, let's turn off my other screen, is what happened with the people in California that had offers on counting on the California, you know, that program was weird. It basically depleted in funds within like 2 weeks. We had tons of people that were pre-approved for this. So I do have a video. I think I just posted it. Let's see if I can find this for you behind the screens. I just posted your alternatives and what you guys can do. And I can post this right here on, let's see. Let me go to my channel. See, 1 second, folks. You do have an alternative, believe it or not. Oh, I didn't post it yet. Yes, I did. So if you go to my YouTube channel, you are going to see this video, and I'm going to put it down in the comments below. So check out that video. It is the alternative to the shared program. So California had a program that they would give you 20% of the down payment. It would give you 20% of the down payment. You would owe that money back and 20% of whatever your house appreciated over the time that you live there. Now, you can live there as long as you want. I said when it first came out, I'm like, I would jump all over this. And people did. And they sucked up that money. I think it was like $300 million. And it went like that. And it's gone. So the video I just posted right down below and where it says host, you can click that link. It'll go to the alternatives. CalHEFA has a variety of programs that will offer this. In FHA and conventional financing, we can get you a loan for the conventional or FHA loan, okay? Then we can get you a second mortgage through CalHEFA to cover your down payment, okay? So it's going to give you your down payment money. Then it'll give you a third loan that's called ZIP. It'll give you the money you need for all your closing costs, and there's no interest on it. So these are programs. If you check out that video I just posted, you're going to learn more about those programs, but it doesn't give you the 20% down that you have to give, you know, give back and all the other stuff, but it will help you get into a property. And when you don't have any, you know, much money for your down payment or your closing costs, this will help you. So check out that video. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. The next question that we got is Terry. Thanks for another question, Terry. And you expect rates to fall as inflation falls. We'll have a little bit of a fluctuation, but rates should start to move lower on May 10th with the release of the, I didn't get the rest of that, of the, with the release of the, I'm not sure. Yeah, I mean, it for somebody to predict that the rates are going to drop up 1% on a specific day, I don't know how that's possible. I'm just saying, because if it was that way, we even on our side of the equation, my job here is to make sure you get the best mortgage you possibly can get. So I would advise you, okay, let's just wait till the 10th. Well, then we have everybody waiting on the 10th to lock in rates. Rates are going to jump because the investor, the banks and the bond market's going to act accordingly. And so just don't wait for May 10th to be a miraculous day where rates automatically drop 1%. That's basically all I'm saying. Let's see what we got next. The video seems to be the same video you posted. It is the same video. But what I wanted to do is the CalHEFA, which is that program, offers a program, all kind of programs, down payment assistance, everything else. But what they came out with was that share equity dream product. So that was out there. But I had this video already posted. So I'm getting so many emails and so many calls and so many requests for now what do we do? that the money's gone, that I thought I'd repost that video with a little bit new thumbnail saying, okay, now that it's gone, what options do I have other than, you know, I'm back to square one again. So I like to at least give you the options that you have. Do you know what the U.S. Treasury interest rate is? There's a whole bunch of, it depends on the duration of time you're looking at. So if you go to treasuries, yields, you're going to see there's a slew of them. You can't see this. Let me put this on the board. So this is the bond market. So these are all the treasuries that you can buy from. Okay. And what's going on with those? All right. So there's a whole slew of them that you can choose from. Let's see. The next one is with the release of the inflation rates, May 10th. Well, I'll keep answering your questions for you. If we go over to the inflation rates, well, let's go to the economic calendar. That'll give us our biggest bang for the buck. So if you want to know what's going on with inflation, all you need to do is check out this week's, and it's going to be this week. Let's go through here, right through here. You got the inflation at the consumer level right here. You have inflation at the PPI, the producer price right here. So I know there's what's called the PCE, but these numbers come out every month. So again, they're coming out this Wednesday, April 12th. So I don't know why May 10th is the heroic number, but just to give you guys a context of this, May 12th of just this coming week, Wednesday, they're going to come up with the core CPI, the CPI and the year to year. So let me explain this to you. If you haven't watched my videos this morning and you haven't watched some of my earlier videos, CPI, think of CPI as the inflation number at the consumer level, me and you, how much we're paying extra for a loaf of bread or gas, things like that, shelter. And then we have on the producer side. Okay. So what you want to think about is, well, let me break it down. CPI month over month, year over year. Let's discuss those. So what that is at first, the CPI is a basket of goods and services. So let's say it's gasoline and housing and food and plumbing and all these different sectors. They put a value on it at one point. Okay. So then they go the next month, how much in value did that change? So that would be the month over month change in the CPI. So then you're going to have the year over year. So you can see that right here. You have the month over month, year over year. So if it is, we're going to look at March of last year compared to March of this year. How much year over year did those numbers change? Okay. And then you have the core CPI. What this is it's the normal CPI, but they pull out, they remove the food and energy equation in it because food and energy are all over the map. You can see oil prices changing daily and the gas at the pump changing daily. So that's what that is. And then the PPI, the producer prices. So just think of it this way. If producer prices are going up, the only way for those companies to maintain their same profit margins is to raise prices at the consumer level. Otherwise, they're going to have less of a profit, meaning their stock prices are going to go down, meaning their board of directors is going to start to bitch, meaning there's going to be a lot of headaches. So just dig into that part of it if you get what I'm saying. So normally what happens is the PPI, if it's running high or hot, it's going to move right over to the CPI. Okay. So the Federal Reserve is always monitoring this. And then again, remember when we said the next Fed meeting is May, let's go back to it. Where did it go? CME. The next Fed meeting is on May, what date did that say? The 3rd, May 3rd. So I don't know why it would take a week later for mortgage rates to plummet because of what? So I don't know what's going on there. And I'll dig into it and I'll get back with you guys on that one. But I appreciate the questions. I jumped on late. Damn, can you repeat the name of the savings bond you said you purchased? What I purchased. Now I'm not recommending you guys do this. Okay. I'm not a financial advisor. I'm not licensed to do this. I'm explaining to you guys what I do, how I invest. I buy these for my children. They're grown at this point. And you can buy Series Savings Bonds right here, Series 1 Savings Bonds, yielding almost 7% right now, or Series EE Savings Bonds. And how to do that? Go to Treasury, I think it's Treasury Direct, treasurydirect.gov is what it'll take you. I think it's right here. And then you can kind of look all over the place. So this is basically where that at. And you can move through savings bonds and all that other stuff. It's pretty cool website. Oh, shit. I didn't even show you guys the screen. My bad. So here's where it is. Go to treasurydirect.gov. And let me go backwards. I'm sorry. I talked about it, but I didn't have it on the screen. Look at that. Where else are you getting this almost 7% on your money? You know, the banks, here's why we're having a run on the banks as well. Savings accounts at most banks are nothing. So you can move it to some other investment vehicle that's secure, like treasury bills, you know, guaranteed by our government, that's yielding pretty good, or 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times what your bank savings accounts is giving you. Just saying. Okay, so that's that one. And any other questions that we have? Let's go through. Thank you. And that is it. So I appreciate you guys watching today, guys. We're all on here for 45 minutes. I'm trying to get these done in a half hour to answer all your questions as quick as I can without boring you. So that's my report for today. I hope you found enjoyment in it. I'll put these links down below in the description as soon as this thing buffers and posts so you can have access to this stuff. And I hope you enjoy the rest of your day. Otherwise, please check out my videos I do every day. And I did do a video. I did 2 or 3 videos today I uploaded. And yes, you guys caught me. One is a duplicate of what I did several weeks ago. But I think you're going to find it really relative today, especially if you live in California. So thanks, folks. And thank you for joining me. Because without you guys, I'd be sitting here talking to myself on the screen. So thanks again, guys. And look forward to seeing you tomorrow. God bless. Take care.